Classic Hits 93.1 WNOX. Frank Murphy here. Delighted to talk with Paul O'Neill from Trans-Siberian Orchestra, which has been one of my favorite Christmas music providers since the late 90s. I guess as I realized looking, Paul, at your bio, I was relatively early on the train. Not first, but I was there before the 90s ran out.
If you got in the 90s, you got in early because when the first album came out in 96, it didn't sell. And Ahmed Erdogan from Atlantic said, "Paul, you're onto something, you know, keep going." And when we turned in Beethoven's Last Night in 99, that's when we started to tour.
That's about the time I became aware of you guys. And Christmas Eve Sarajevo started getting some play around that time, late 90s, 99, 2000.
That just took on a life all of its own. And it's, we always hoped, the whole plan originally was, to do 6 rock operas, trilogy about Christmas, a couple of regular albums. And we hoped the band would do well, but it got bigger than we ever could have imagined. And the Christmas trilogy, just because that's the hardest niche to break, that's why most bands don't take on the holiday, and that's the holy grail. I mean, especially in the entertainment world. I mean, if you're doing a book, a movie, a painting, a song about any other subject, you're competing with the best of the last couple of generations.
Right.
Anything to do with Christmas, the last 2,000 years, painting, you're competing against Michelangelo, Botticelli, Norman Rockwell.
No kidding.
Capra, book, Charles Dickens, music, Beethoven, Mendelssohn, Irving Berlin. And, we just couldn't believe, just how it took off. And this is going to be the 16th year in a row of nonstop touring. But this is going to be the first year we do the Christmas Attic live.
I've got so many questions about that. Now, the Christmas Attic is the one album that you've never performed live until now. Why is that?
Yeah, that is, we did, Christmas Eve and Other Stories first, and it did so great that William Morris was like, "Paul, it's not broke, don't fix it." So for 13 years in a row, we just kept doing it.
Yeah.
And, because Charles Dickens wrote 5 books about Christmas, and he made his biggest money by reading them live in theaters, and he always wanted to do, like, The Cricket in the Hearth or the other books, but they're like, "No, gotta do A Christmas Carol." But finally, like 2 years ago, I just said, "I've got to do one of the other operas." So we did Lost Christmas Eve, and ticket sales went up double digits despite the economy.
No kidding.
And so we decided this year to do the Christmas Attic in this way, because as I'm sure you're aware, Frank, it's fun writing them, it's fun recording them, it's fun watching them go platinum. But to me, they're not real until you perform them in front of a live audience.
And I saw a quote that said that sort of completes it for you. What does that mean?
It's, because, when you perform in front of a live audience, then you feel the energy back from the audience. And, and the band feeds off that audience, that energy, and then they give it back to the audience. The audience gives it back to them. And it kind of creates an energy tape loop. And it's just you get a rush that you simply couldn't get from just like listening to the album alone at home, or watching a DVD on television. And last year, by the way, it was really insane, Frank, just because number one, the band realized that was going to be the last year for a while for the Lost Christmas Eve. It doesn't disappear, we just put it back on the library shelf.
Okay, but it's sort of a farewell, it's like a graduation.
It was just it was just time to move on, so we want to end on an up note.
So the energy must have been really intense knowing this is, wow, we're going to say goodbye to this music for a few years.
It really was a great run, but it got even more insane because we got a call from, after the American tour, we were going to go do Europe, but we intended to take 2 weeks off, but then we got a phone call from the city of Berlin who asked if we could play New Year's Eve in Brandenburg, Gate.
Come on. Oh, wow.
900,000 to, 1.1 million people.
Amazing.
And, but our agents were like, "Paul, you got 2 shows in Buffalo on the 30th and you're flying against the clock. It's too close. Do it another year." I'm like, "What if they don't ask me another year?"
Right.
It's too good of an opportunity. I got to go for it. And we didn't have a lot of room for error. It was only like a couple of hours, but
well, how do you do that? Do you set up all your equipment, get another whole stage set up there waiting for you, and then so it's just you guys?
We had that all waiting. We had the jets waiting on the tarmac.
Wow.
And we just left the stage, when the police took us straight to the airport, the jets took right off.
If that was me, I would have felt like, James Bond or somebody like that.
It was a rush, but the magical thing was we finished sound check with an hour to spare. And then, the square started to fill up, and, we're getting ready to, midnight's approaching, we're getting ready to hit the stage, And the German, stage manager comes over and he goes, "Paul, you're not going to believe this, but we were expecting, you know, between 900,000 and 1.1 million. We just crossed the 2 million mark."
Gosh.
And so when we hit the flight deck and you just looked at this sea of humanity, just, you know, people from all over the world, it was just so cool. And it was just a great way to bring in the new year.
Yeah.
And then we did the European tour and then, you know, came back over to, you know, keep working on the new album so we can hopefully turn that into MCA Universal in June so they won't kill us.
So there'll be a new Trans-Siberian Orchestra album coming out next year.
That's 100%. And then after we do that, we do another winter tour. Oh, and then we're going to, we have to fly over in July to do Wacken, which is the biggest rock festival.
So your mind, summer. You're already up to July 2015 in your head, and I want to talk about what's happening right now.
It's
amazing.
My brain is just still spinning there.
Well, right now we're talking, I beg your pardon, we're talking with Paul O'Neill of Trans-Siberian Orchestra. Tickets now on sale for their Knoxville show. We got to emphasize that. Tickets on sale for the show, which is coming up in December. And I'm delighted, actually, because a lot of times, you know, the Christmas tours will start, you know, in October. And it's hard to get sometimes in the Christmas spirit in the middle of November or beginning of November when we haven't had Thanksgiving yet. But you're coming to Knoxville December 10th, a perfect opportunity.
Right in between Thanksgiving and Christmas.
I love it.
And by the way, you brought up an interesting point because, you know, our agents have always wanted us to, like, start in October and, you know, finish up, you know, in February. And I'm like, nope. We will only perform the Christmas rock operas in November, and all the way up until, to me, the holidays end on the weekend after New Year's Day, because that's when everybody goes back to work.
January 6th, the Epiphany, the 12th day of Christmas.
Whoa, I'm impressed.
Come on.
You're 100% correct.
Oh, yeah.
In Europe.
Catholic school, Yonkers, New York. Give me a break.
Yeah. For the Greek Orthodox, that is Christmas, you know?
Yeah.
And it, you know, it drives them crazy. But that's why in the winter the band splits in half. And
that was my next question. I looked at the tour dates and I'm seeing, wait a minute, you've got two cities at the same time on the same day. Explain that to me.
Well, you know, when we formed TSO, I said I need four guitar players, you know, four keyboard players, full symphony in the studio, but not the whole symphony on the road, and 24 lead singers. And I'm just like, why? And I'm like, because we're going to do mostly rock operas, and this way I'll always have the, if I need whatever song I write, I'll always have the right voice for it, and if I don't, I'll just add another member. And Amma just kind of rolled his eyes and wrote a blank check. And but again, when the first album came out in 96, didn't sell. And but Amma's like, you know, Paul, you're onto something, keep going.
Well, you know what, the setup you've described really would be very common in the classical world, and you've got the word orchestra in there because a classical of any symphony that puts on a show, they say, well, I need my whole symphony and I need my choir in the background. I mean, this is, if I want to do Ode to Joy by Beethoven, I need twice as many people as you just mentioned.
It's funny you mention that because I also learned, because we've been doing this for over 40 years now. I remember when Emerson, Lake and Palmer toured with a full symphony and sold out and lost millions of dollars. And so I learned, okay, don't do that. And I talked to Greg Lake about it, and because TSO was the first band to never play a club, never have an opening act, never be an opening act. But we've had a lot of great, you know, special guests come out and do encores, like Steven Tyler, you know, Roger Daltrey, Joan Jett, you know. But Greg Lake from Emerson, Lake and Palmer was, you know, one of my idols because, you know, Black Sabbath, you know, people invented, you know, in my opinion, heavy metal. But prog rock, in my opinion, was invented by, you know, Greg Lake because he formed Crimson and then Emerson, Lake and Palmer. You know, when he came out, did, you know, four shows with us doing Welcome Back, My Friends, to the show that never ends.
Right. And but somehow they lost money but sold out a tour. Because why?
Because they had three different managers, and they figured in the cost of the symphony, but they didn't figure in the cost of the hotels, the busing, the trucking. You know, when we tour, we basically we bring a couple of our own string players, and we pick up some local ones. TSO is technically a prog rock band, but it's also an idea and an ideal. And one of those things is that the fans own the band, and you know, it's our job to spare no expense or any amount of time to make the best albums, the best concerts, but then charge the lowest possible price. And my agent's like going, you know, Paul, you say, you know, the band exists for the fans, but if you only tour during this short holiday season, a lot of people will never get to see these shows. And then somebody else said, Paul, you've got over 80 members. You could split this band in half in the winter and you're still five times bigger than your average bear.
There you go.
So the first year we did it, I'll be quite honest, Frank, when we did this in 2000, I was petrified.
Well, because, yeah, half your buddies are some other city far away from you. Yeah.
Not to mention, even bands with a lot of members like Earth, Wind & Fire or, you know, Lynyrd Skynyrd, there's no East-West.
That would be pretty funny, though, if you have to say, well, what band are you going to see, Lynyrd or Skynyrd?
Yeah, exactly, or Skynyrd, right. But, you know, luckily, you know, the fans understood what we were doing because, you know, It's a Wonderful Life is a great movie whenever if you see it in June, but it's more magical November, December. Christmas Carol's, you know, great book whenever you read it. A little bit more magical, you know, during the holiday season.
Right.
So we did it, but people understood why we did it, and it worked. And then when the summers, or we do summer spring tours, it goes back to being one band.
Well, very cool. So you get to get the full experience because you're able to use technology and some synthesizers, I'm assuming, to get some of the full sound you need. But you've got everybody right there. The guys who originated the music are still...
And there is, again, no lip syncing, no tapes running, or anything like that. Everything that you're hearing coming out of that PA system is live.
I love it. Oh, that is fantastic. Well, the Thompson Bowling Arena is going to rock that night, Wednesday, December 10th, with Trans-Siberian Orchestra. Now, Paul, do you know at this point which half of the band you're touring with?
They kind of just send me back and forth. It's just like Adam calls me, okay, Paul, you're going to go east. Okay, Paul, you're going to go west. They just stick me on a plane and send me somewhere.
All righty.
But then last year was even weirder because it was east-west, then Europe. East-west because we were promoting the European tour, which was happening right after the American tour. So, man, was I jet-lagged last year.
Oh, I bet. I bet. Well, also, it's very cool that now, right now you're in New York rehearsing because you're going to do the Christmas Attic for the first time live.
Then
what's the next step after you have your these rehearsals that are happening right now in September?
Then we rent a Coliseum for 4 weeks right outside of Omaha, and we go and set up, you know, the entire system because we got to make sure that everything, you know, works perfectly because, you know, we have, you know, so many cutting-edge things right out of research and development. You know, we don't do warm-up shows, you know, don't find like a city in the middle of nowhere and, you know, shake out the bugs, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We hit the ground running, and like Al Petrelli says, he goes, you know, first show has got to be as if you're touring for a year, and the last show has got to have the energy as if it was the first show. And
wow, that's a great philosophy.
Yeah, and the old-timers who have the experience and the young guys who have the adrenaline, It's great.
We're talking with Paul O'Neill, Trans-Siberian Orchestra, coming to Knoxville Wednesday, December 10th, Thompson Bowling Arena. Tickets on sale now. Don't miss this opportunity to see the Christmas Attic Live, which includes the Christmas Canon, which has got that Paco Bell music in it that I enjoy. And we've been playing that one, of course, here, you know, at Christmas time on WNOX, as well as Christmas Eve Sarajevo. I think there's about three or four Trans-Siberian songs that we play regularly during the Christmas season. And so excited you come, and thanks a lot, Paul. We appreciate you.
My pleasure. Frank, again, thank you so much for making this one an easy interview, especially with my brain, you know, at this point. And in the meantime, you stay safe and have great holidays, and we'll see you on the road.
Okay.
God bless, Frank.